This is Mental Wellness with licensed therapist Anne-Marie Matthewed. Mental Wellness provides general information regarding mental health. The information is not intended to create a doctor-patient relationship. You're encouraged to consult your own medical provider for advice that applies to your own mental health care. And now, Anne-Marie Matthewed on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hello and welcome. This is Anne-Marie Matthewed, and you are listening to WTIC 1080 News Talk, and this is our mental wellness segment. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of Connecticut. I've been licensed for over 30 years, and my practice is Colchester Counseling Associates, and we see clients both in person in Colchester and via telehealth from the comfort of your own home. And we help people with a variety of issues, and we do counseling for families, couples, children, adolescents, as well as parenting seminars and some life coaching. And our contact information is 860-537-5280. Today we're going to be talking about communication skills. So this is a broad topic. Everyone has to communicate in some way, even if they're nonverbal. A nonverbal person or someone with a disability, they still have to communicate. So communication skills are the ability to exchange information clearly and effectively, and they include verbal, nonverbal, written, and visual. Verbal communication skills include speaking clearly and confidently and using appropriate language, being concise and to the point, and signaling main points. So sort of making your main points stand out. Nonverbal communication skills are equally as important as verbal ones. So there's all different kinds of nonverbal communication, some of which we are aware of, and sometimes we're not aware of it. So one of the nonverbal ways we communicate is with our face, right? Using facial expressions. And the human face is extremely expressive. So we're able to convey a lot of emotion without ever saying a word. We know when someone is annoyed. We know when they're tense, when they might be happy. We know when they're silly, just by looking at their face. And some of you might be better at reading someone's emotions than others, but it's something to think about. When you're talking to someone, look at what they're doing non-verbally and start with the face. And do their words sort of match what they're saying? You know, if they're rolling their eyes, usually that means they think something that the other person is saying is either silly or untrue or maybe even annoying to them. So you can really learn a lot by really looking at the face of the person you're speaking to and also watching your own facial expressions when you speak. So you don't want to be telling someone you're really happy and then having a sad face. That would be confusing. So facial expressions you need to look at from both ends of the spectrum, both when you are communicating and when you are being communicated to. And you can really learn a lot by watching the face and by being cognizant of your own facial expressions. Body movement and posture, those are other ways that we communicate nonverbally. Things like crossing our arms. You know, when we cross our arms, typically that gives off a negative or a critical vibe to the other person, or we're closed off. We're not really open to listening as we would be if our arms were relaxed or down by our side or in our lap. If we have crossed arms, we're kind of giving the message that we're not overly interested in what the other person has to say. Open arms and untense body will give off a welcoming vibe. And then, you know, there's all kinds of gestures, right? There's gestures that we are all aware of, and we can be aware of many gestures that people use every day. Some not so good, like the ones you get while you're driving when you cut someone off. And then there's also some that are good, like high fives and thumbs up, you know, things that give off positive vibes. And even a gentle nod and a wave, you know, back to the example of cutting someone off while you're driving, it can go a long way to not use that other gesture. You know, the one that I'm talking about. Another nonverbal way that we communicate is with eye contact. You know, it's important in making someone else you are talking to feel listened, valued, and heard by looking at them when they speak. If you're looking off or nowadays looking at your phone, you know, you're not making eye contact with them, then you're kind of giving off a vibe that you are really, you know, not overly interested in the conversation that you're in. So if you want to feel valued and heard yourself, and you want the people you're speaking to feel valued and heard, then you want to make eye contact when you're talking. And of course, this is in person, right? And it's a really important skill to have. If you're looking everywhere but at them while they speak, unfortunately, the message can be that you don't care about what the other person's saying. The other person might think to themselves, I don't really matter to this person. What I'm saying doesn't really matter. Parents have to especially be careful of this one this day and age, because it's very tempting to always be looking at your phone. And when your child or teen is talking to you, that is not a good look. That really gives the message to the child and teenager that you're not overly interested in what they're saying. Just like we don't like our teenagers, especially, to be looking at the phone when we're talking to them. Or when your spouse comes home and you're sharing your day and all of a sudden your spouse picks up the mail and starts reviewing the mail. Again, that's not being attentive to what you're saying. It's not going to make you feel heard. So you want to be watching your own ability to have eye contact when someone's talking to you. And you also want to watch other people's ability to have eye contact with you when you're the one speaking. Touch is another nonverbal way we communicate. Placing a hand on someone's back gently if they're upset is a gesture of support, right? And then on the other side, waving off a person if they say something to you that you don't like and kind of doing a little hand flip and waving them off, that's pretty dismissive, right? Touching them, letting them know that your listening is really important, or touching someone who's upset in whatever way they're comfortable, of course, can make them feel very supported. Another thing that we need to be conscious of when we're communicating is space. You know, giving people space allows for opportunity, while crowding someone can feel overwhelming. And sometimes it can cause some people to shut down when they feel crowded. I often think of my own children as teenagers. If we needed to confront them about something, a bit of physical space between us, like where and how we sat when we were talking, was really important to how they would react. If we gave them a little bit of space, they were able to listen a little better and not feel as overwhelmed than if we really tried to talk about something important in close quarters. Voice, our tone of voice can say a lot. When my grandmother does something dangerous, when my granddaughter does something dangerous, for instance, she's too young really to communicate in real sentences yet. So I kind of lower my tone of voice, and that indicates disappointment, danger, like if she's touching the electrical outlet, you know, she understands that my tone, like I just lowered it now when I'm speaking now, sounds different and concerning rather than me sounding like this and being really happy when she touches the electrical outlet. Then that would sort of be in a mixed message, right? When I see her, when I first get there to care for her, That's when I use an elated, excited voice, and that shows my love and excitement for her, and I'm all excited to be there with her for the day. The other thing we want to do is pay attention to inconsistencies. In the therapy world, we refer to this as affect. And if a client's affect is incongruent to the words they are saying, we know to dig a little deeper. For instance, if someone says, no, I'm fine, with sort of a forced smile, but they have tears in their eyes and they really look sad, then we really know that they're not fine. And you can do the same thing with the people around you. So we're going to be right back after a short break. And this is WTIC News Talk 1080. And this is our mental wellness segment. The next thing we're going to talk about is visual communication skills. Using charts and graphs and diagrams and other visual aids, whether at work or at home, they can really bring a lot of our points and learning to the forefront. They can help whoever we're trying to teach, for instance, if it's someone learning or some kind of student, they can really not only hear what we're saying and they can read what we may have written, but they can see maybe a chart or a graph, you know, something that helps them understand the concept that we're trying to teach. And visual communication can be used all the time, not just when you're a student. At work, you know, if you're doing a presentation, it helps to keep your listeners engaged, right? And it helps to validate some of the points that you might be making, especially if you utilize data to support what you're trying to say. At home, even with getting young children to do chores, for example, pictures of the chores on the fridge can serve as a great way to remind them and engage them. In fact, if they're old enough, let them draw the pictures. So if they have to make their bed, there can be a picture of an unmade bed and a made bed, so they can sort of see the difference. And that can be fun. And even if you don't like to draw, you could make like a little chart and you could use pictures from magazines. But having visual aids really helps a lot with most people that are trying to either learn or master a concept. So the next topic is listening, right? We cannot communicate effectively if we don't know how to listen. If you're trying to communicate in a conversation where you are really not listening, you will most likely miss points. You'll probably frustrate the person you're talking to, and you'll come off as only being interested in your own voice. Some of you may have heard that before. You're only interested in your own voice. You know, it seems like that might be an indicator that you have to improve on how you listen. And I'm sure many of us have heard that at one time or another. You want to be an active listener. So how do you do that? You want to ensure that the other person knows that you are listening to what they say. The first thing is you want to pay attention. Give the speaker your undivided attention and acknowledge what they're trying to say. Show that you're listening. Going back to using your body language that we talked about, asking questions, commenting on what you're hearing, that shows you're listening. You want to provide feedback. After you appropriately listen, be able to engage with quality comments that depict what the other person was saying to you that are, you know, in the same content. And you want to defer judgment, at least until it's your turn to talk. And even then, one phrase I like is seek to understand. When someone is speaking to you and either you don't understand what they're saying, maybe the subject matter is causing you a little anxiety or a little distress. Maybe you don't agree with what they're saying. But if you're an active listener, you're still going to try to seek to understand. Really try to understand what the other person is saying, what their perspective is, what their point is. It doesn't mean you agree, but you do need to listen, just like you are going to at some point want them to really listen to you. So try to defer your judgment. And then, you know, if you need to, you can ask questions so that you can understand. But it's at least respectful to try to understand another person's point of view. And then you want to respond appropriately, using correct body language and tone, all the things we've been talking about. The other thing we want to try to do is be empathetic. You know, when we're talking about communication, empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another person. This fosters connection and builds stronger relationships. So active listening and acknowledging someone else's emotions, that's how you show empathy. Empathy is a pretty large concept, probably a whole nother chat we could have, but it's a great skill to have in life. And if you are an empathetic person, people will be drawn to you because they will know that you're really trying to feel what they feel as much as you can. Some other strategies that are sort of general strategies for good communication include being approachable, be open and welcoming. Be aware of your communication style. Am I a good listener? Do I judge? Do I monopolize conversations or interrupt a lot? How can I improve my own communication? Try to be thoughtful and reflective of this, and maybe even ask some of your family members or your good friends, hey, how do you think I communicate? Do you think I should improve some areas? Be prepared when you can be. Be clear and concise. Be brief and be specific, right? Over talking, we tend to lose people. And check for understanding. Find out if the people you're speaking to are understanding you. And then use questions to encourage discussion. You know, try to make your communication participatory. Communication skills are important both in your personal and professional life. They can help you build trust, solve problems, and they can very much help you advance your career, which we talked about in a previous segment. Feedback is an important part of communication. Feedback is the receiver's response to a message indicating their understanding, interpretation, or reaction. And it's crucial for effective communication because it helps the sender gauge the message's impact and adjust their approach. So feedback is sort of how you respond, whether verbal or nonverbal, when someone is speaking to you, or how they respond to you when you are speaking. Do they understand you? What's their feedback? What are their thoughts? And we want to have confidence in communication. You know, building trust and credibility, confident communication exudes assurance and competence, laying the foundation for trust and credibility. You will give off an air of knowledge when you're confident in how you communicate. When individuals communicate with confidence, their words carry weight and authority, and instilling a sense of reliability, especially among young colleagues, superiors, and team members. You really want to come across as a confident communicator. Believe in what you're saying. And you always want to show respect when you're communicating. And the true meaning of respect involves valuing and appreciating others, their opinions, and their boundaries, even when you disagree, and treating them with consideration and kindness. We all need to be considerate and kind. That's how we're going to have the best relationships that we can have and the best quality of life we can have. So with all these skills, you should be off to being a great communicator in no time, and I hope you found it helpful. Again, this is Anne-Marie Matthewd, licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm speaking to you from Colchester Counseling Associates, and our contact information is 860-537-5280, and this is WTIC News Talk 1080. And this was our mental wellness segment. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
This has been Mental Wellness with Anne-Marie Matthewed. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks for the next Mental Wellness on WTIC News Talk 1080. Till then, stay well.